Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Last week, Jeremy did a great job, and I thank you, Jeremy, for starting our series called Seven Words that come from the words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. And significantly, the very first word was a word of forgiveness. Today we're going to hear the second word. It's a word that Jesus spoke to one of the criminals who was hanging on the cross next to him. And it's a word that I believe there are many in this room who need to hear. It's a word of assurance. A word of assurance. I had a call last week from a good friend of mine. He's a brother in Christ. He's put his faith in Christ. He's been baptized into Christ. He's served Christ in his church. But he called me and he was upset and he said, "I really, really need to talk to you." And so I met him at a restaurant. There was no small talk whatsoever. He ignored the waitress, literally. He pushed the menu to the side of the table when she sat it down. He looked across the table at me with tears streaming down his face. And he said, "I am terrified." And I said, "Brother, what is wrong?" And he said, "I know what I have done in my life. And I am terrified that when I die and I meet God, he is going to look up and he is going to say, 'Oh yeah, I know who you are.' And he's going to push a button and a trap door is going to open and I'm going to fall straight to hell. And I'm terrified." Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this morning that for men like him who have doubts, for many in this room this morning who may be wondering, "Can I be sure that I will be with Jesus?" You can absolutely be sure, because on the cross, Jesus spoke a word of assurance. When Jesus carried his cross to the place they called the skull, there were two other men that day who were carrying their crosses as well. The Bible says they're criminals. The word just literally means people who've done evil. And one of them admitted that himself when he said, "You know, really, we deserve to die for what we've done." But both of those criminals were nailed to their crosses that day. And they both hung there in agony and pain and shame. And both of them, while on their own cross, reacted to Jesus. And doesn't it say something about Jesus that even while they were going through everything they were going to, and if your body was being put through what their bodies were being put through, every ounce of energy and strength and thought that you had would be consumed with your own experience. But doesn't it say something about Jesus that while they hung there, they had on that day in that moment to deal with Jesus? And doesn't it say something about Jesus that stripped of every ounce of dignity, put in a helpless and vulnerable and shameful situation, that there was something about him even then? There was something about him especially then that people had to deal with Jesus. That his impact, not only on the world, and we talk about it in the cosmic sense because it is a cosmic event, it affects eternity, but his, at that moment and that time on an individual level, Jesus had an impact, and they had to make a decision about Jesus. each of them had to make a decision about Jesus and who he was while they were hanging beside him. And one of them believed him, and one of them belittled him, and one of them received him, and one of them rejected him. And I say to you this morning that every single one of you, like those two men, have to make a decision about Jesus. And so I want you to listen to this message this morning like your very life depended on it, because it does. And when we are finished this morning, I want you to make a decision about Jesus. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus will make a decision about you. And I want you to have the assurance that the criminal had after he made his decision, because Jesus spoke a word of assurance to him that day, and Jesus will speak a word of assurance to you on this day. Because I know too many people who have doubts about something which you should not have doubts. I know too many Christians who have doubts about their salvation. I know too many people who have gone to church their entire lives who still are not sure whether they will be with Jesus in paradise if today was the day. And I want every person who is here this morning, I want every person who can hear my voice through the internet this morning or through this week or whenever you listen to this message, I want you to have blessed, confident assurance in Jesus Christ. I want you to know that without a shadow of a doubt, if when you leave here today and you are in a car wreck and you die, that you will have assurance. And I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt that if you do not wake up in the morning, you will have assurance. Because Jesus speaks a word of assurance from the cross. He said, "I assure you today you will be with me in paradise." And so let's listen in to this conversation and hear the word of assurance from Jesus. Because in this conversation, you can know every single thing that you need to know to be saved. You can know everything you know to be sure of your salvation. Everything you need to know that you will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. Now, there are lots of other things that you can know, and there's lots of other things that you want to know. But I'm going to tell you this morning what you need to know. Because on the cross, we learn the very things that you must know to have assurance that you'll be in the presence of Jesus when you die. Hear the word. One of the criminals hanging beside Jesus hurled insults at him. "So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it. Prove it by saving yourself. And us too, while you're at it." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God even when you are dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. He's not done anything wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you today you'll be with me in paradise." You know, when that day started, the criminal was on his way to death. He was carrying a cross on his back, going to a hill where he was going to die. And he was going to spend eternity in hell, absent from the God who created him and from the God who loved him. And when that day ended, he was still going to die. But then he was going to be alive immediately and in the presence of the Lord, to spend eternity with the God who created him and loved him. His eternal destiny was changed in a moment on the cross. And I'm telling you this morning, your eternal destiny was changed in a moment on a cross. And it changed because of Jesus. And it changed for this man because of what he knew about Jesus and what he believed about Jesus. So I just want to look at four things this morning that this criminal knew and that you must know if you want to be sure, and you can be sure, that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. The first thing that he knew and the first thing you need to know is that I must know that I will face God after I die. I must know that I will face God after I die. I'm just going to tell you some plain truth this morning that comes from this story and that is all through Scripture, that when you die, you're going to face God. And there are people who run from God their entire lives. There are people who spend their entire life avoiding dealing with God. God intercedes and God prompts and God works all the time in people's lives. And they run and they hide. It started with Adam and Eve and it hasn't stopped. But there's going to come a moment for every single person in history, and you're going to face God. And you got to know that. There's going to be a moment when you can't run and you can't hide. And one criminal knew this and he rebuked the other one. The crowd was heckling Jesus while he's on the cross. And the second criminal joined in. And I can't even imagine hanging there and joining in at heckling and mocking the man who's hanging next to me. But this first criminal, the one we're spending our time talking about this morning, he yells over Jesus and he yells at the other criminal and says, "What are you doing? Man, don't you know you're about to die and you're mocking God?" And folks, there are people who grow up in our culture without any influence from God's word, from God's church, and from God's son. They can grow up in this culture and have no influence from any of those places. And I want you to know the message that they're hearing. And the message is, you're an accident. The message is that there was this baffling mathematical chance that occurred, and life began on this planet in a pool of sludge, and you're the result. And you evolved and you became over the millennia through animals and everything else, and here's where you are, and that's how it started. It really, you're an accident. There's no purpose. And when you die, it's all over and you're just going to go back to sludge. You came from nothing. You are nothing, and you will end in nothing. And I'm telling you, folks, it is everywhere. And it's the reason people don't even think twice about killing little babies. Because what does it matter? It's an accident. It's nothing, and it's going to end in nothing. That's the message that too many people are being fed day in and day out. And if that's the case, then what's the point? What does it matter? When it's over, it'll be over. But folks, we know a truth. We know a truth that gives us hope and gives us life and gives us purpose and gives us meaning. And we got to be sharing this truth with all the joy and all the confidence and all the assurance that we possibly can do and can have. Because there is a God, and he is good, and he created everything, and he created you. He knit you in your mother's womb. He gave you everything that you are. He made you in his image. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye, and he has you here for a purpose, and he has you here to do something good and to do something for him and to do something that matters. And when it's all over, it's not all over. There's an eternity that he has prepared that he wants to spend with us. That is the truth. It's a truth we've got to preach, and we've got to preach it loud, and we've got to preach it strong so that people can hear it and know God, because they're going to meet God one day. You're going to meet God one day. And I think that you know it, and I think they know it on the deepest level, because the Bible says that God planted eternity in our hearts. And there is something in us that longs for Him. But we're so aware of this vast gulf that exists between us. Death is not the end of your life. You may live here 70, 80, you may make 90 years. If you're Virginia Hearn, you get 105 and counting. But in the scheme of things, it's the blink of an eye. And then there is time beyond counting. That's your real life. And you can either spend it in heaven or hell. We don't say that very often anymore, but it's true. You can spend it with God, or you can spend it without God. And the criminal knew that day on the cross. And if you want to be sure, and you want to be saved, you got to know that a day is coming when you will meet God face to face. And then another thing that he knew and that you need to know is, I must know that I have sinned against God. That criminal said, we deserve to die for our evil deeds. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that his life was full of things that were wrong. He confessed that out loud while he was hanging on the cross. He agreed with it. I am a sinner. And we don't know what he did to deserve to be crucified. We don't know how bad it was. We don't know how many bad things he done. But we do know this. James chapter 2, verse 10 says that whoever keeps the whole law of God but fails in one point is guilty. And you say, Ken, that is not right. That is not fair, Ken. But it's the truth. And it's reality. And we got to deal with the reality. I could live my whole life doing the very best that I could do and keeping all of God's law, and I mess up one thing. I do wrong. One time. And I'm a lawbreaker. And here's how we know that's true. How many speeding tickets does it take to make you a lawbreaker? How many lies does it take to make you a liar? How many items do you have to steal to be a thief? How many people do you have to sleep with to be an adulterer? It takes one. And that's the truth. And if we want to be saved, we got to know it. We got to come to the realization. I'm a sinner. I've disappointed God. I'm not right with God. God does not approve. You cannot be saved by God if you don't think that you need to be saved by God. Again, it's just reality. God's gonna accept, let you do what you're gonna do there. If you do not think that you need to be saved by God, you're not gonna be saved by God. Because you don't need a Savior. And so there's this reality that we see all through Scripture, and that is still true today, is that people who are going to be saved have to come to a knowledge that they need to be saved. And that I'm a sinner. The criminal knew it. And I've got to know it. And you've got to know it. And it's important, because you and I don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to be in the presence of Jesus. See, where God is perfect. That's what makes heaven perfect. It's because that's where God is. And it's a perfect place. But I'm not a perfect person. I'm a sinner. And so in the state that I am in now, if I was able to go to heaven, heaven would no longer be a perfect place, because I would be there and I will have messed it up. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve death. I deserve eternal death. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know the difference between wages and a gift? Do you know the difference between wages? Wages are something that you earn. You deserve them. A gift is something you didn't earn and you don't deserve and you probably weren't even expected and you're so excited to get. If you worked for 40 hours this last week and you worked 8 hours a day and you worked hard and you did everything you were supposed to do, and on Friday afternoon at 4:59, your boss came and said, "You know what, Courtney? I got a gift for you." And you think, "Oh, wow, that's cool." And you're thinking, "What extra am I going to get?" And he says, "Here's my gift for you." And he hands you your paycheck. You say, "That's not a gift. I earned that, dude." See, wages are what we earn, but a gift is what we're given. And we've earned death because of our sin. But God has this gift of life, and it's given to us in Jesus. And he wants us to be with him forever. He wants to give us life. And that criminal knew it. And you got to know it. There's another thing that he knew and that you need to know if you're going to be saved and you're going to have assurance. I must know that Jesus was more than a man. I got to know that Jesus was more than a man. There is something more about Jesus. That criminal said, "This man has not done anything wrong." He didn't say, "You know what? He's not as bad as we are." He didn't say, "Well, he just said, "This man has not done anything wrong. We deserve to be here, but he does not." Folks, is there anybody that you know that you could point to and you could say, "You know what? They've never done anything wrong"? Is there any person in history you could point to and say, "You know what? They never did anything wrong"? There's not. Because what the wise man wrote so long ago is still true about human nature. There is not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. And so this criminal who is hanging on this cross knew something about Jesus, because he could point to Jesus and he could say, "You know what? I don't understand it completely, and I don't get it all, but that man, he hadn't done anything wrong. That man does not deserve to die." That criminal didn't know much, but he knew that. He didn't know much theology, but he knew there was something more about Jesus. He didn't know much Bible, but he knew there was something more about Jesus. He didn't know a lot. There's probably a lot more he wanted to know, but he knew that. There is something more about Jesus. Jesus was more than a man. Jesus was God, because only God has never done anything wrong. And a lot of people believe a lot of things about Jesus. And they believe he was a great teacher, and they believe that he was a great moral leader, and they believe he had a lot of good influence, and they believe he modeled probably better than anybody else what a good life looks like. And it's good to know all those things about Jesus, but if you are going to be saved by Jesus, you've got to know there is something more about Jesus. Amen. He is more than a man. He is the living, breathing Son of God, your Savior. And you got to know it. And when you know it, it'll change everything. He was and he is God. And here's what happens when you know that. Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians 5. God had Christ, who was sinless, take our sin so that we might receive God's approval through him. Such a great verse. Jesus, who never ever sinned, who never did anything wrong, Jesus, who was perfect, took your place on the cross, because you have done wrong and you are not perfect and you deserve to die and you've sinned and you've done more wrong than you care to admit, and somebody's got to pay the penalty for it. And so Jesus said, "I'll do it." and he paid our debt. He paid your debt. It's this great exchange. He who had no sin became sin so that we would have his righteousness and have approval in God's eyes. Because God, when he sees us now, he sees Jesus in us. He sees us in Jesus. We're wrapped up. We're united. We're clothed in Christ. That's why we have assurance. That's amazing grace. Amazing grace. Jesus was perfect and right all the time, and God approved of him. And now, when you know this, he approves of you. Because Jesus was more than a man. One other thing I see on the cross that this criminal knew and that you need to know, and that is that I must know that Jesus is the only one who can save me. Jesus is the only one. The next word the criminal spoke, the next words, they're so profound. They're so simple. He said, "Jesus, remember me." Wouldn't you? Do you ever read scripture and just wonder, what's the tone? What's the inflection? How did that come out of that man's mouth? What was in the depths of his heart when he said, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me." Three simple, powerful words. So much that those words implied. That man knew he couldn't save himself. He knew there was no way that he was going to get himself off of a cross. He knew there was no way he was going to be able to, if he could get himself off the cross, make up for everything that he had done wrong, to repay those that he had robbed. He knew he had nothing. While he is hanging there, he has nothing to offer God. His only hope is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who could save him. And he says, "Jesus, remember me." He didn't bargain with Jesus. He didn't make excuses to Jesus. He didn't even really beg Jesus. He just simply said, "Jesus, remember me." And you and I are like the criminal hanging on the cross. We have nothing that we can offer God. There is no way that we can save ourselves. There is no way we can get ourselves out of this predicament. We must simply place ourselves at the mercy of God, throw ourselves on the grace of God, and cry out from the depths of our heart, "Jesus, remember me." That criminal didn't use a bunch of theological words. He didn't use some formula prayer. He didn't know the five steps. He simply knew he needed Jesus. And so when there is nothing else to do or say, he said, "Jesus, remember me." And just think for a moment what those simple words said about that man's faith. He'd followed Jesus on the road. He had watched Jesus stumble. He had watched him be manhandled by these soldiers. He watched him be nailed to a cross just like his. He watched as this crowd turned against Jesus. He saw this suffering, bleeding, dying man. Yet he believed that there was something about Jesus, that Jesus could save him even after all that. He believed, he put his faith in Jesus right then and there, and his faith was rewarded by grace. And I think it's interesting that he put his faith in Jesus before all the supernatural events occurred. There's some big stuff coming. The middle of the day, it's going to turn pitch black. Jesus is going to cry out, "It is finished." The veil in the temple is going to be torn. There is going to be an earthquake that is going to rock the earth, and dead people are going to come out of their graves in Jerusalem. There is a soldier who is going to confess at the end of this, "Surely this man was the Son of God." But before any of that, the criminal said, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, remember me." What incredible faith that man had. Jesus recognized it, and he said, "Today, I assure you, you're going to be with me in paradise." And think about what that says about Jesus. Because at a time when it looked as if Jesus had no power at all to save himself, much less anybody else, Jesus saved a criminal on the cross right then and there. What does that say about Jesus? As surely as he can save that man, he can save you. And Jesus will say to you what he said to the thief on the cross. I assure you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Blessed assurance. I started this morning by telling you about my friend who was looking for assurance. And I believe there are so many people, too many people right here this morning who are looking for assurance. How can I know that I'm saved? How can I be sure that I'll be with Jesus? And to answer that question, I have only two words. God's grace. I don't know any other way to answer that question. I don't know things to tell you to do. I don't know what to tell you to be. I don't know what to tell you to think or what to tell you to say to be sure. But I know about God's grace. Because as a preacher, as a minister, the conversations that I end up having about assurance with people, across the board, the doubts are rarely about God. The doubts are about us. My doubts are about me. Have I done enough? Are there things that I should have done that I didn't do? See, our doubts are about us. I'm afraid because of what I know about me. And I want you to hear me say this. If you're looking for assurance and you're looking at you, you're looking in all the wrong places. Because if you keep looking at yourself, you're going to keep being filled with doubts. Because you know you. But this wonderful truth that we learn from Jesus and the criminal on the cross is salvation is not about you. Salvation is about Jesus. Salvation is not through you. Salvation is through Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about grace. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works. So that no one can boast. See, your salvation is by grace. It's not about you. It's all about God. It's not about any work that you can do. I want you to hear me say, because this is something I had to learn way too late in my life. I believe grace started my salvation. And I really think I believe grace ended my salvation. I was worried about all the in-between. And I didn't think grace could sustain my salvation. But grace starts it. And grace sustains it. And grace will end it. I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day, folks. My assurance is in Jesus and it is in God's grace. Praise God, it is not about me. Amen. And let's go tell the world, it's not about me and it's not about them. It's about Jesus. And you can be sure of it without a shadow of a doubt. Because that dying thief is the perfect picture of salvation by grace. Grace. He didn't have any works that he could point to before he died. And he was saved then and he died and he didn't have any works he could point to after he died. It's not about works. It's about grace. Saved by mercy and grace. That's how you can be sure. From start to finish, it's about grace. And I've tried to speak to two groups today. I've tried to use the words of Jesus on the cross to show those of you who have been saved that you can be sure. And if there's anyone in this room today, anyone in this room who is still battling with these doubts of whether or not you will be with Jesus when you die, would you be like my friend and would you call me? Because I'd love to go to lunch and sit down and talk about God's grace with you and talk about assurance with you. Better yet, stop me today. Let's have a further conversation because I believe you can be sure. And I know that you can know that you're sure because Jesus said so. And I believe Jesus, don't you? And folks, it's what was prayed earlier. If you're sure, it'll change your life. See, an unconfident, unsure, doubting Christian is not a very attractive thing. But boy, a man or woman of God who knows these things, knows the truth about themselves and knows the truth about God and is walking in confident, assurant, courageous grace, that's something the world needs a whole lot more of. It's something you can be and something you can do. I want you to have assurance for your sake and for the world's sake. Because it'll change the way you talk about Jesus. It'll change the way you follow Jesus. It'll change the way you serve Jesus. And so to those of you who have been saved by grace, by faith in Jesus, he says to you this morning, I assure you, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to press into that grace. The scripture's just full of that language. Constantly, Paul's just telling us, press more into grace. If you want to press into something more, you press more into grace. John says, grace that's just grace on top of grace is what John says. I love that kind of language. I love that idea. That's what God wants. That's the message he wants for you. Grace on top of grace. But for those of you in this room who have not been saved by Jesus, for those of you in this room who've still not made a decision about Jesus, I want to end the way Scripture teaches us to end, and that's to always point back to the cross. Jesus hung between two men, and both of them had to make a decision. And both of them did make a decision about Jesus that day. And we've talked about the first one who decided to asked Jesus to remember him, and he was saved. He died. He went straight to be with Jesus. But there's another man hanging there. And he too made a decision about Jesus. And he made a decision to reject him. And he died. And he'll spend an eternity dying in hell. And you say, but I'm not like that man. I haven't mocked Jesus. I don't do that. I haven't rejected him. I haven't hurled insults at him. But I want to say to you this morning, if you haven't been saved by Jesus and you haven't decided, there is a point in time where not deciding is deciding. To not decide is to decide. And I've done my best, and I've prayed about this, that I would lay it right here in front of you. That today can be your day of salvation. Today. It's a theme of Scripture. Today is the day. Today can be your day. Today is the day to be saved, to receive God's favor. And so I invite you to call on the name of the Lord. I invite you to know that you'll face God, to know that you're a sinner, to know that Jesus is more than a man, and to know that he is the only one who can save you. And if you cry out to Jesus, Jesus, remember me, I'm telling you, I believe he will, and I believe you can know it. We're about to sing a song that's called There's a Stirring. And I've been praying that the Holy Spirit of God would create a stirring in some of your hearts. And that you would respond to that stirring this morning. I'm going to join John and Kay over to my left, to your right. And during this song, I invite you to respond to God, to respond to Jesus, to respond to what you know. You don't know everything, but I'm telling you this morning what you need to know. He's put eternity in your heart, and he is drawing you to him. And today can be the day for you to have blessed assurance. And if you join me, we'll talk together, we'll pray together, and then we'll take you and we'll baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he will wash your sins away. And you will know with complete assurance that you will be with Jesus for eternity. Let's sing.